The opinions of Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
My friends are degenerate.
Is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz, hour number two. 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Or you can hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page, find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ, whoops, at Jake Assman. Habit, at Aaron is Blitz, at Degenerates 975. You can text the show, you know the number for that. You can also watch us on Twitch and weigh in there where you will see Jake Assman, or Millennial Pololo, as everyone calls him around here.
Yes.
I'm just going to call him MP, because those are words I struggle with. I've always struggled with words with a lot of L's, including Pololo.
Millennial Pololo.
Yeah. I have to slow down and actually mouth the words so that I don't, because I've just, one thing that I've always had problems with is words with a lot of L's.
Now, let me ask you this, though, because I've listened to enough Charlie now. I've filled in for him a bunch of times, and it's always great getting that opportunity here. I think the only thing Charlie and I really have in common is that we're both very short guys from the New York region.
Well, that's a lot.
It is a lot.
To be in Houston, Texas.
For sure.
That's why we always just assumed you were from Syracuse. But I didn't realize you were an Ithaca guy.
Well, Joel Blank would always be like, oh, you even sound like Charlie. And I'm like, I don't think I sound like Charlie at all. There are people on the text line that keep saying I sound like this Ben Shapiro guy. And I got to be honest, I don't think I sound like Ben Shapiro at all. I could be wrong. I don't really listen to him often. But I've heard him on Joe Rogan's podcast before. And no one's ever told me that until this show today.
All right. Well, here's where we're going to tell if you sound like Charlie. Give me a remarkable.
Say it just remarkable, or say it how he would say it?
Say it how he would say it.
Remarkable.
Yep, that's him.
I could be Charlie. Yeah, I could be an impressionist.
I think when you do his show next time, I want you to drop some of those out. You have to.
Man, that Bill O'Brien is just remarkable with why he's training all these players.
There you go. That's good. That's good.
You need a bigger pregnant pause in the middle, though.
Yeah, and you have to go, but you need one of those.
But.
Yeah. And at some point, you have to use the word nomenclature.
Nomenclature?
Yes.
I don't even know what that means, to be totally honest.
Yeah, that's if you
should
do
I
that,
know what that means?
If you do that, man, that's the next time you fill in for Charlie.
All right.
That's gonna be a challenge. So and if you pull that off, I'll buy you a Bloody Mary.
CP at GalMedia.com.
Exactly.
The greatest.
Oh man.
He's my favorite that he still gives out the email. Because yeah. No, he's the only host of the station that gives out the email address. I love it.
Yeah, I throw mine out there sometimes, but it's usually for stuff like, you know.
Oh, mine's in my Twitter bio if anyone needs to reach me for some reason. But he interacts with listeners through email, which I love.
Yeah, because I don't know how much he does on Twitter. I don't know, but I do have people who want to have longer conversations off air, which I'm always happy when people want to do that and email me.
And attend your leadership and communication seminar, which I did last week.
Yeah, did you learn anything?
I did. I enjoyed it.
Good. Yeah,
the turnout was very impressive.
Yeah, and it was really cool because, and it's been a while since I've done those, but I always tried to keep them right at 45 minutes. And it was funny when I looked up at the end; it was 45 minutes in. I'm like, oh,
nailed it!
I still got it. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. I miss doing stuff like that. I want to shout out to my buddy Gustavo, who great friend of the show, has brought me some barrel aged narwhal, and. From Sierra Nevada, which he knows I love, and I'll be having that tonight. So, thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. This is the best. We have the best job in the world. We do.
It's not really a job. That's what makes it so great.
It's not, and it never will be. If it ever started being a job, I would quit.
That's why I get so upset when I go on Twitter sometimes, and it feels like you have people that work in sports that are rooting against sports coming back and trying to go out there and try and come up with every doom and gloom scenario why these leagues can't move forward, and Dana White's evil for putting on a fight card when he did. It's just, is it so wrong for people to really want sports to come back and to be happy, and not just from being a fan of your teams, but the local economies in all these cities that depend on games being played, and forget just the millionaire players and coaches and front office people. How about the vendors, and how about all these people that own a sports bar down by Minute Maid Park, and it just all these different places that get screwed when there's no sports being played.
I found it amusing that so many people whose livelihood depends on sports are having this take that, oh, no, don't bring it back until we have a vaccine. Well, good luck with that. If we wait for that, then there's not going to be anything left. And as long as they're taking the precautions, and the Bundesliga has done a good job of taking precautions, and I guess the Premier League's coming back now, which is great because, you know, I was really getting into that. But what Dana's done, taking precautions, doing the tests. Somebody tests positive, you get them out of there. And if we can do that and that model works, then let's do it. Because I think the all the stuff about, oh, Dana's evil, people are dying. That's my favorite.
Coach O went
people
on,
are dying.
It infuriates me. Coach O went on Fox News yesterday, and he was asked a question about football coming back and talked about how he wants football to come back. We need football. And then he went on to explain, we need football because, and talked about the local economy in Baton Rouge, depending on LSU games, season ticket holders, tailgating, going to restaurants, hotels, everything that a local college town, you know, would benefit from a great program like LSU playing there. And the headline, Coach O, we need football. People on social media ripping Coach O. Coach O doesn't care about people dying. Coach O doesn't care. He just wants to make his money and play football. He's tone deaf. And it's like, well, did you watch the appearance? Did you read the full quotes?
But that's the problem. Nobody does that.
No.
They read the headline. And we live in a society. That's why I don't even look at the Facebook comments on anything I write, because I know all they're going to do is look at the headline. And if you actually go in and read it, I've addressed what you asked. But that people don't do that because it's lazy. And in Coach O's case, and Josh talked about this a lot on his show yesterday, I was listening on the way in. I mean, it's context. You have to take things in context, everything. And he's right. There's a lot of people's livelihoods that depend on this right now. There's a lot of people out there. That's why it drives me nuts that sports columnists, including one who was furloughed for quite a while, comes back and writes, we shouldn't be doing this. We shouldn't be doing this. It's like, you might not have a job in a couple months if they're not doing this.
And it's not a black or white issue where, like, all right, you know, it's either sports come back or nothing comes back at all because we can't risk people dying. There's a way to do it where things open, things come back, there's safety protocols in place, and people go out there and handle themselves the right way.
Well,
so you can
problem.
Get these leagues back and start stimulating the economy again, because you said this at the top of the show earlier, Fred. I think we're far from hitting the worst of what it's going to look like with unemployment rates and people losing their jobs and their livelihoods and not having enough money in their pocket to, you know, put food on the table. I worry about that a lot. And you're talking to someone, as you mentioned, you know, I was on furlough for 6 weeks. I sat on my couch unemployed, not knowing if I was going to have a job. So I really could relate to all, you know, the 1 in 5 Americans out of work. So when I see people in the business that I know, it feels like rooting against the return of sports. I just go, it really just blows my mind.
Yeah, and that kind of dovetails into the baseball conversation, because the fact that they're going to sit here and fight over pennies publicly just drives me nuts. This is not the time. And you want to talk about a bad look, and it's not, and I'm not pointing the finger at the players. I'm not pointing the finger at Scott Boras. I'm pointing it at both the owners and Scott Boras and the players, for like Max Scherzer coming out and saying, I mean, guys. You know, and there was one guy, oh, I'm under contract. I should get paid. Hey, I'm under contract. I took a pay cut.
I mean, as most Americans
yeah,
had to.
We, guess what? That's what we do. Yeah, because we're trying to keep the whole thing going. And we were trying to do a show during this thing so that people would at least have something in the afternoons that's familiar. Hey, how about baseball do the same thing? And that one I do think applies to a lot of us, because you had to sit out for 6 weeks and couldn't work and wanted to. And we've all taken pay cuts to do what's best for the company and to keep doing our jobs, because there are people who like to listen to us in the afternoons, and we're happy to do it for that reason. I don't understand why baseball has to fight over every little bit.
Well, when Scherzer also says, and the players keep saying this, we already took our pay cut. We agreed to prorated salaries in March. I'm sorry. Maybe it's a semantics game here. You didn't take a pay cut if you're taking a prorated salary. You were being paid for games that haven't been played. That doesn't make any sense. You know, if there's an 82-game season, you should get paid for the 82 games you play in. You and I are not going to get paid for radio shows we're not hosting. That's not how it works.
No.
Baseball players are not going to get paid for games they're not playing. And everyone conveniently leaves out the facts that the owners agreed to pay the players, you know, a pool of $170 million, you know, through the month of May. So they've been able to get something – You know, the players should look around and go, well, we made our money. For 1 year, we might have to take less. How about we do what's right and help all these guys that are going to be on the roster get an extra year of service time? How about we take care of the minor leaguers, like the Oakland A's organization deciding not to pay their minor leaguers an extra $400 a week when the owner's worth $2 billion and it would cost them a hair over $1 million to compensate his minor league guys? Like, things like that. If you're a player, if you're in the union, you should be taking care of those people. That's your bloodline. That's your future. And no one talks about that. No one mentions the fact that, you know, your salary cut as a prorate is not really a salary cut if the games haven't been played.
Well, and the other part of this is, and I really believe this, I think there's owners that don't want to come back. They'll actually lose less money.
Agreed.
By not playing. And so I'm sure they're going to be hardlining about this. And it's not all on the player, but the fact that they're arguing about this publicly.
When 1 in 5 Americans are out of work, people are dying on ventilators. There's 100,000 Americans dead in this country. It's tone deaf. And this is not an election, Fred. Like, trying to win the court of public opinion doesn't matter here. It's about getting a deal done. I think the average fan hearing millionaires fight with billionaires is like, are you kidding me? I can't pay the mortgage on my house, and you guys are arguing if a player's going to make, you know, $20 million or $10 million this year? Give me a break.
That sounds like a pretty good Jake Asman sports map column, if you ask me.
Well, I think I might have something in the works.
All right. All right, we'll take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
The Blitz on ESPN 90. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Jake Asman in for A.J. today as he floats down the river. It'll be my man Jerry Bowe on Friday and Monday, so there might be some gambling discussed there.
Just a tad, maybe.
Yeah, and Tuesday, Jason Braddock will jump in, and Jermaine Every next Wednesday, and then AJ's back on Thursday, and we'll have some special guests pop in, you know, do a segment or two with us. Just some of our regular friends that you're familiar with here at the station. I'm not going to give any away. But I bet we can get Patrick Creighton to come on and do a couple segments with us. Might have our girl Holly pop in. We'll see. We'll just see how things go over the next week.
Fred and Friends is the name of the new show for Till Ages Back?
Well, I wouldn't call them friends. I mean, nobody really likes me. Fred and acquaintances. But, yeah, something like that. Somebody asked how you like your steak. That's how we judge people around here.
Medium rare or medium. I could go with either one.
Okay. That's not ideal, but we'll take it.
What's your preference?
Medium rare. It depends on, well.
It also kind of depends on the type of steak, too.
It depends on where you go, because some people, if you say medium rare, they make them rare, like really rare, which AJ likes it like that. I don't like it that rare. But, and then some places you order medium rare and they make it medium. So you have to kind of figure it out. So it's somewhere between rare and medium, depending on where I go. I've kind of got the places figured out now.
Most places, if I've never been there and don't know how they're going to do it, medium is just a safer option. You just go with medium. Restaurants seem to understand what medium is.
The higher end restaurant, the safer you are with medium rare or rare. But if you know, you're going to like a steak night, well, you're going to have to go a couple times to figure out what to order, because they don't do it by the book. And most people, that's where they're getting their steak now, right? Yeah. Justin says Fred Fowler and acquaintances. Yeah.
Not as catchy as Fred and Friends. A little alliteration, the FF.
Yeah, that would work if people actually liked me, but they don't, and I don't blame them. So, yeah, it'll just be, you know, whoever we can get to roll in here. Somebody sent me an email about this. They want to get a Dalmatian puppy for their kids. I got to tell you, I wouldn't do it. If you do, you got to go to a real breeder and a respected breeder. Don't be going to Craigslist, and it ain't going to be cheap. But unless you can spend a lot of time at home, and listen, I love my Dalmatian as much as I do my kids. I used to say more, and that pissed people off. Okay, maybe not as much, but she's a great dog. She's terrific. But I also work at home a lot, and I mean, they are energetic. They need constant stimulation. They're hyper. You have to play with them a lot. You have to spend a lot of time with them. Great dogs, but it's work, especially when they're puppies.
So it's a major commitment is what you're saying.
Yeah. So if you're prepared to do all that, then go right ahead. They're great. So somebody goes, when does a New York guy come on radio? Isn't that you?
I guess I'm the New York guy.
Yeah.
I've lived here for almost 2 years. I consider myself a Houstonian at heart now.
Yeah. How long does he have to live here before we can count him as one of us?
I'm wearing a Roughneck shirt as I sit here in the studio, by the way.
I'm really glad. R.I.P. I'm glad I didn't wear mine because I almost wore my Roughneck shirt today.
Oh, it would have been great.
Yeah, it would look like a...
Twins.
Yeah.
I should have wore Islander gear just because you're wearing a Toronto Maple Leafs hat and I can't stand your franchise.
No, yeah, that's okay. I'm not a fan of yours either.
That's okay.
So it's all right. All we did was steal your best player. That's fine.
Yep. And how'd it work out, Lester?
They're fun to watch. They score a lot of goals. Can't stop anybody. I'll take that style though over your style of actually play defense and don't score.
Yes, the Islanders win, but a lot of times they win ugly. But you know what? I'd rather win ugly than lose. So
I'd rather lose 6-5 because I'm betting the over most of the time.
It depends if where the money's on. Yeah. You know, if you're betting the over, listen, I get it. Life's too short to bet the under.
Something like that. But I'm excited to get hockey back. You know, somebody says you have to go through a hurricane to become a Houstonian.
I missed Harvey by a year,
honestly. 713, that's one of the best things that anybody said to define you as a Houstonian. You have to survive a hurricane.
Not a pandemic.
Well, that's not a Houston thing, unfortunately.
No, it's not.
That's everywhere from Houston to Wuhan.
We had some flooding. What was it, September, October, some real bad flooding here, I feel like.
Yeah, but
it wasn't anywhere at the level of Harvey. Yeah, but
flooding is common around here. That's, you know, if you don't get your car stuck in a flood one time here, that's probably another badge of honor.
So that I've done.
Okay. Yeah, but when you should have turned around and not drowned?
I got out and I put my life preserver on and I was just hanging out.
Oh, boy. All right. People want to know if you have a significant other in your life.
I don't. I am single and very much ready to mingle, Fred.
And that was actually a female listener who asked me that.
Oh. So,
yeah. So you might want to, I'm not going to call her out, but you might want to get on the Twitch channel and check him out. He kind of looks like, with the beard and everything going on, he kind of looks like a miniature Tormund from Game of Thrones.
I will take that. Tormund is a badass. That guy is fantastic. I was so concerned that he was going to die. You know, I would say spoiler alert, but it's been a year since the show ended. If you haven't seen it by now, earmuffs, I guess, would be the same. I was so concerned about his well-being during that final season in certain scenes. Thank God that he did what he had to do to stay alive.
Right, and he winds up being Jon Snow's lover in the end.
Yes.
You know, so
worst ending to a show ever.
It was pretty bad. I saw that the other day. It's been a year since that. Can you believe it?
And how
upset people would have been if that happened in 2020.
Oh, could you imagine that happened now with nothing else on? Yeah. The added attention to Game of Thrones. People would have been binging it to try and get caught up because they knew it would be the one live thing going on right now. And I can't get over how poorly that show ended.
It wasn't great.
It was a top five show I had ever seen up until that. Really, the season 7 wasn't great, but what they did in season 8, they butchered an all-time television show.
The season 6 ender was so good that there was no way it was going to finish badly, right?
That's how I pictured the show.
It was like
being
up 28-3 in the Super Bowl.
Yes. I picture Game of Thrones ending when Cersei blew up the scepter. From that point on, I'm like, all right, show's over. That's how I want to try and remember Game of Thrones. Because and there are the real diehards that try and defend it. You cannot defend the last season of Game of Thrones. It was rushed. You had no idea what they were doing with certain character storylines they built up just to destroy them. I could do an 8-hour radio show on Game of Thrones. That's how upset I was still a year later talking about this.
Yeah, I didn't hate it as much as I didn't think it was as consistently excellent as the show had been for 6 years. I rewatched it on the flight back from London. I rewatched season 8, except for the third one because you couldn't see it on the screen.
That was another issue with season 8.
And I didn't hate it as much as I just think it grew into such a groundswell of this sucks. And you know how we are as a society. It wasn't great. It wasn't as bad.
Well, when the bar is set so high, sometimes that could really come back to bite you if you're not ready to deliver.
Right. And that's unfortunately, that's a lot. And when people tell me, oh, this movie is so great, and you read all these critics about it, say great things about it, and then I go see it and it's not great, it's good.
You still kind of leave a little disappointed.
Then I feel like, yeah, boy, this sucked. It's We were talking about this with Birds of Prey. Like, I read so many great things about Birds of Prey. And everybody said, oh, man, this is great DC movie, best DC movie yet. And I watched it, and it's like, it was okay. It wasn't bad. It wasn't great. But it automatically colored my opinion of it because I was expecting so much more. So what are some other TV shows you're into? Are you a Rick and Morty guy?
No, I've never seen Rick and Morty. My God. I've been told. So I'm in the middle of watching Billions right now for the first time. I started that. During the pandemic, I watched a lot of movies I hadn't seen. So I caught up on some movies, and I watched The Office. I was binging that for the first time. I liked the show The League, which was – or The Boys, excuse me, on Amazon Prime.
Yeah, that's a good one.
What else? I watched the show Dave. I don't know if you've seen that about Little Dicky. It's on FX.
That one didn't really do much for me. Billions I ejected on about 9 episodes in. It's another one. People were just raving about it. This is great. And I'm watching it going, this is okay. It's okay. And it just finally I'm like, okay. I had the same problem with Homeland. And everybody told me it got better after season one, but – the season one ender was so awful. I was just like, no, thank you.
Not for you.
Yeah.
I rewatched a lot of Sopranos during this pandemic as well.
Yeah, that's a very New York thing to do.
Very timeless, though.
Yeah.
Throw on any episode of The Sopranos, and it's amazing how well that show holds up now, what, 20-plus years ago?
Although, if you pick one of the bad episodes, people forget that there were some stretches there where that show almost jumped the shark. And then they'd come back with one of the best episodes ever.
They reel it back in.
Yeah, it was funny. Like the whole dream sequence with Annette Bening, I thought, oh my God, this is the worst thing they've ever done. And then the next show was one of the best ones ever.
Yeah, and then they come back with some you know, David Chase written greatness.
Yeah. So, yeah, Rick and Morty is a must. And I'll tell you the same thing I tell everybody else. Just go watch season 3, episode 3, Pickle Rick.
Watch it without having seen any of the other episodes.
You don't have to see the rest of it. It stands alone. If you don't like that, you won't like the show. It's that simple.
All right.
And actually, the last two have been the season 4, I thought, started a little slow, but the last two have been fantastic, including Rick banging a planet. I mean, that was basically the premise of last week's episode. So it's that'll be your assignment for next time you're here. I just want you to watch that one episode.
Okay. I can do that for you.
And
I follow your assignments. I go to your leadership and communication seminar. I will now watch a Rick and Morty episode for you.
Well, it's only 25 minutes.
I mean, what else am I doing?
Yeah. You know? Yeah. So on Adult Swim, and I think is it on Hulu too?
Yeah.
So you can get it on Hulu. All right, quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Right beside you, pop star Lil Mariah. When I take ski game, throw a stack on the bar.
ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Jake Asman filling in.
Great to be here, Fred.
All right. Can we get a list of Charlie-isms that we can get Jake to work?
All right. So I texted a confidant of Charlie Pololo just to make sure we could nail some of the Charlie-isms. And here's a few I got back.
Okay.
Well?
That's a good one.
Okay. Sports news of the day? Well, there isn't much. One segment down. We got 11 to play with. But he doesn't really do that as much anymore because he has Joel to talk to and Nick.
Yeah.
What was the one that we said that was an absolute must? Oh, from soup to nuts.
Yeah.
That's a big Charlie-ism.
Soup to nuts.
Text in your Charlie-isms, because I'll try and read them to the best of my ability. I don't think I do a great Charlie, but you guys do call me Millennial Pololo.
You're doing pretty well with it, frankly. But I had never heard the term soup to nuts until I heard Charlie's show. And he was on another station at the time, and I heard that. And I'm like, what does that even mean? I had to look it up.
Soup to nuts.
Yeah. I'm sure it's a common phrase. See, I figured you would know that, right? It's got to be a New York thing, like an upstate New York thing, right?
I don't think so.
Okay. Just checking. Somebody says, yes, Fred, please tell people if you're going to buy a dog, do a ton of research and talk to people and make smart decisions. Yeah, that's the thing, because especially with a breed like a Dalmatian, it's, they're so cute and everything. And trust me, great dog. Love the dog to death. But it works because I have time to actually keep the dog entertained. And if you're going to get one for your kids, man, there's probably better breeds.
It's a lot of work, especially early on when they're a puppy and they're learning how to basically live in a new environment for them.
And this was new for me because I've never had a dog that I didn't adopt before. This was the first time that we actually went out and bought one because the wife wanted one because she, her favorite dog before she met me was a Dalmatian. And then I blame Facebook for this because, you know, those 10-year photos start popping up.
Oh,
memories.
Sure.
Her and the dog. And she's like, that was the day she had to put it down.
Oh.
And she, I want another Dalmatian. I'm like, okay, great. You know, it's not like we don't have enough to do here. We got two cats and a dog already.
Do you use the app Time Hop?
No.
So Time Hop is basically Facebook memories, but it combines all your social medias. So you can go back and see what you tweeted on this day 7 years ago. You can go back and see what you Instagrammed or what you were tagged in. And you just
I
swipe every morning when I wake up. But instead of, you know, you just open up Time Hop and it kind of presents each year, breaks it down what you did.
I'm not interested in what I tweeted yesterday. Why do I care about 7 years ago?
So I like it for when there's like a big sports event anniversary or Game of Thrones. We were talking about that earlier in the show. I knew it was the anniversary of Game of Thrones because all my tweets came up with me just lambasting the ending of the show. I'm like, oh, it must be a year ago today.
I knew it because everybody was writing stories about, hey, it was only a year ago that we had Game of Thrones. So, but yeah, just if you're going to go get a specific breed, make sure you get a good breeder and make sure you do some research. It's some work, but yeah, we wound up getting the dog, and it was pretty much this is what sucked. Okay, and I've said this to her face, so it's not like I'm making any big deal about it. She was traveling a lot for work at the time, and says, yeah, I'll take care of the puppy. I'll spend a bunch of time with the puppy. And I don't know, 2 weeks after we got the puppy, she's off to London for 2 weeks. And then she's off to Chicago for 3 weeks. So guess who got stuck with the dog for basically the first 6 months? And
it helped mold you into the person you are.
Well, and I love the dog to death, but she freaking likes the wife better. And I'm the one that had to put up with her for the first 6 months.
Does your wife normally feed the dog?
Because
that's what it is with my dog.
She does on the weekends. I feed him during the week because I'm the first one up and I take them out and then they get fed in the morning. I guess she feeds them at night.
Whoever feeds the dog the most is the person the dog always gets attached to.
I give the dog human food. She doesn't. Like if I'm eating
there's a win for Fred.
If I'm eating a sandwich, I'll give her a little piece of it. Doesn't matter. She likes her better. Well, here's the Charlieism for you. Billy Bluster, Billy Bluster, Billy Bluster.
The infamous Billy Bluster. I love when that was a promo on our station for a while.
Yeah.
Billy Bluster. That's a great one. All things notwithstanding.
Okay.
Or all. Is it all? Yeah, I guess that's what the texter wrote.
Yeah.
Just ask Joe Blank. He knows a bunch of Charlieisms. Joe could probably rattle off just tons every single day if he had to. He's very good at them.
Space Ghost wants to know, is this AJ's oldest son?
And AJ wishes.
And Gallo Glasshawk said, holy bleep, he is baby Tormund. So
I'll embrace that. Tormund's awesome. Is he not a great character?
Now we just need to find you a miniature Brienne.
Brienne of Toth. Great character as well.
I was watching some show that she was on, and I just couldn't see her as anything but Brienne. She was a police officer. It was a show.
Officer Tarth?
It was an Australian show, and it had the little mousy girl that's so popular was in it. And I can't remember what it was called. Something about being on top of the lake or something like that. Top of the Lake, I think it was called. Aaron, maybe look that up and see. Because I can't remember her name, but she's really popular as an actress.
She's a phenomenal actress. She did a great job in the show.
Well, I'm not talking about the Brienne chick. I'm talking about the other chick.
Oh, never mind. I was talking about Brianna Toth.
See, this is what happens. Like, I can remember ridiculous things from 20 years ago.
But, Elizabeth Moss?
Elizabeth Moss, yeah. Elizabeth Moss is a star. She's mousy, not Brienne. Brienne's very, very manly. Well, yeah, and that's her role.
Got to respect it.
You don't find Elizabeth Moss mousy?
I don't know. You said she was really popular. I don't feel like she's that popular.
I thought she was pretty popular.
Elizabeth
She might be. It's just my lack of pop culture awareness.
Yeah. Oh, I recognize her. Okay. Yeah.
She was in that, like, the knockoff version of Hollow Man that came out recently.
Yeah.
But that's all I've really seen her in.
She's been in a bunch of stuff. She was in, what the hell else was she in? Now that I can't think about it. Was it Mad Men? Was that her or was that the other mousy chick? I get my mousy chicks confused.
I've never seen Mad Men.
Don't start.
I like John Hamm. He's been in other movies that I've seen.
Christina Hendricks is who you're thinking of, I think.
Oh, okay. Yeah, same thing. I like her a little better. She's...
Oh, I thought of another show, by the way, I said John Hamm. Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Okay. Again, shocker, if you like Seinfeld, you're going to love Curb Your Enthusiasm.
It's essentially Seinfeld, but on steroids and unrated. It's HBO.
Yeah. That's yeah, I could have almost, you know, I should have played this game, Aaron. I should have written down all these shows that and things that I knew Jake would love. And then we could just check one off every time he did it. Curb Your Enthusiasm, definitely. Billy Joel, shocker.
Yep.
You know, Seinfeld, absolutely. Shocker. And I bet you can quote every episode of Seinfeld.
No, I'm not. See, I'm not very good at quoting movies and TV shows. I wish I was better at that. I you know, if there's an iconic line or two someone brings up, I'll know it. But I wish I could remember random stats about various things in sports, and I can't remember what I did yesterday or a really good movie quote. I wish I had a better memory for stuff like that.
See, there's some. Well, now part of it is, and another thing, like if I'm making a list of things the wife hates about me, is I can watch movies. There's certain movies I can watch anytime they're on. Like I've watched Rounders 100 times. I'll watch it another 100. And yes, I can quote almost every line. And when I've always done that. When I was in high school, a bunch of us would watch Monty Python's Holy Grail over and over and over and over again. And then we'd act it out.
Would you sing as the movie was going on?
Oh yeah, yeah. We actually we did the whole thing like they used to do with what the hell was that movie that was always a midnight movie?
Oh, Rocky Horror.
Rocky Horror. Yeah, we basically. Somebody would play each role and that's say right. The lines as it was going on. We were dorks. I make no bones about it. Never have. But, yeah. So I can still do it. That's why I know so many movie quotes and things like that and movie references. There's a lot of them. I just watch a bunch.
Did you see on Twitter yesterday top three sports movies was trending?
I did not. What were the ones they were?
Frank Caliendo, the comedian's like, what are your three favorite sports movies? Don't even think. You could always change it, but just name the first three that you could rattle off. So I did it in my head real quick without even thinking. I'm like, all right, I'll go Remember the Titans. I'll go Miracle. And what was the last one I had? I think I said Rocky, but I was trying to get a comedy in there. So I'm like, well, can I throw, can I throw The Longest Yard in there? Can I throw Dodgeball in there? And I started rattling off like sports comedies. And it's tough to just pick three. It's like, what are you looking for in a sports movie? Do you want to laugh or do you want a real serious film about something that happened?
I am in the minority because I am not a big fan of sports movies.
In general?
In general. Especially ones that are based on real events. And really, even a movie like The Natural just did nothing for me. And I don't know why. I guess it's because I've always considered sports.
Field of Dreams?
Okay. I mean,
Bull Durham?
That's better than Caddyshack? Field of Dreams. Caddyshack. Now, if we're gonna count it, Caddyshack, Slapshot, those are the kind of movies I love.
Happy Gilmore.
Happy Gilmore, Major League, you know, comedies. Those work for me. The real ones, they just don't because to me.
What about the movie Miracle? You're a hockey guy.
And because I was a teenager in 1980, and I remember that vividly, and it was. To me, the greatest upset in sports history, and especially, and I don't think there'll ever be anything like it because of the political agendas, sure. And everything else. And the fact that, and people won't realize this because back then, you didn't have professionals playing for the United States. The Russian guys, and you see how many Russians are in the NHL now, and it wasn't just Russia. They had Lithuania and all these other countries, and they were better than the NHL teams.
Well, they crushed the NHL All-Star team leading up to the Olympics.
And there was also a great series between Team Canada and Team Russia where they played like a 7-game series, and I think, or 9-game series, back when the Cold War was going on, and they were a mystery because we didn't know anything about the Russians. And so they had this unbeatable team. And if you ever get a chance, there's a documentary, I can't remember the name of it, about that 9-game series. I think it was Blood on the Ice, something like that. But so this team of U.S. college kids pulls off this amazing upset. And what people didn't realize at the time is just beating the Soviet Union, if they didn't win the next game,
it wouldn't have mattered.
They wouldn't have got a medal. And, of course, they had to win the next game, and it wasn't on live TV. And they were showing an Olympic event, and I remember this vividly, and they accidentally put the score up that the U.S. had won. I think it was Finland was who they played.
Yeah, and they were trailing in that game originally.
Yeah, and they show final score, U.S. 4, Finland 2, or something like that. And like, oh, this is great. And then when they showed it live, it seeing that game, and it was on tape delay, it wasn't live, but I watched that game, and it was just the most amazing thing I've ever seen because, and you see this sometimes, it doesn't happen in, well, I guess it does happen. It probably doesn't happen in basketball. It doesn't happen in football very much. But in hockey, soccer, baseball, there are times where a goalie can steal a game, a pitcher can steal a game. A team's clearly more talented than the other, I see this in soccer a lot. The team dominates possession, dominates shots, just can't put the ball in the net, and the other team gets one goal. Well, this is kind of what that was like. And the Russians were skating circles around him.
Jim Craig stood on his head in the net. I mean, you watch the game back. It's just, it's unbelievable. One of the coolest moments of my life, it was summer 2010, I think, or 2000, you know, summer 08. I got to go to Lake Placid and take a tour of the Olympic Center and go to the Miracle on Ice Arena where it happened. It's now named Herb Brooks Arena. And got to skate on the ice. And it was one of the most surreal things I've ever been able to do in my life as a sports fan. So I have to put Miracle on my list of the top sports movies ever. And it's a damn shame that Herb Brooks wasn't alive when the movie came out because he got into the car accident months before they were going to release the movie into theaters.
Yeah, I mean, I thought the movie was well done. But actually, and we always talk about your favorite sports heroes, your favorite sports minutes moments are when you're 12 years old. I think I was 14 or something, but that will always be my favorite sports moment, and a movie's never going to do it justice in my mind. All right, let's take a quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Feel like I'm gonna puke because my taxes are due. Do my password begin with a 1 or a 2? Been a hell of a ride, but I'm thinking
this is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz, and I was right. Elizabeth Moss was Mad Men. That's where she was from. That's where everybody knows her from. She was the mousy chick from Mad Men.
Okay.
See, we got to get you caught
up. I only watched 5 episodes of that, and it didn't catch me. So,
all right, do you remember the mousy chick? She was a big part of it. She was probably the second biggest star.
She was the young one, right?
Yeah.
Oh, then yeah.
Yeah. So.
I watched the first 5 episodes, and the only thing that kept me going was Christina Hendricks. And then plot went nowhere, so I left it.
Yeah, you can eject on it after 3 seasons. I thought the last 3 were some of the worst TV ever, and I just couldn't let go of it. I've gotten better about that. I ejected on Westworld, finally. I'm out.
See, I'm still on it.
Well, they said they're going to do 3 more seasons of it, I'm like, okay. Season 1, really enjoyed. Very well done. Season 2, worst writing I've ever seen in a series.
Yeah, that was horrible.
And all trying to be, oh, we're going to be really clever, and here we are at the end. It's all going to make sense. And I thought, okay, it looks like it's Aaron Paul's going to be in Season 3. It looks like it's going to be pretty good. And then they did the same stuff. So I'm done. I'm out.
I like Season 3 a million times better than Season 2. Still not better than Season 1, of course, but I've watched it every time they make HBO free, so I'm up to, I think, episode 5. And then I got to watch the last 3 next time it becomes free to me.
I see.
So I can finish the season. I'm not going to pay for HBO just to watch that season.
Yeah, you're not going to be.
It hasn't justified me paying.
What about
for
the
it.
New HBO streaming service they're doing? Is that worth it to you? Will that be on there?
No, not to me.
I can't even keep track of all these streaming services.
Well, that's the problem, because I'm thinking about ejecting from DirecTV, because now everything's pretty much on stream things, and I don't need AT&T Sportsnet right now, sadly, because there's no Astros. But I haven't done it yet just because I like the convenience of DirecTV. But I've cut it way back. I mean, I used to spend $300 a month. I had, like, every movie channel known to man. And I've cut a bunch of them back to just do streaming stuff. So I've got all the streaming stuff except Disney Plus, which I need to add because I've already got Hulu and ESPN, so it doesn't matter. And I'm finally getting used to using streaming as opposed to going to DirecTV.
I made the cord cutting about a year ago, got rid of cable, and I don't regret it. And I thought, as a huge sports fan, always watching games, I would miss it, but it saves me a ton of money. I have a Fire Stick. I have a 2 TV setup, 2 Fire Sticks, and I just stream everything off different apps. And there's really not as big of a delay as I originally anticipated, so it's not bad.
We did that about a year ago, and it just didn't work for me. Because there was too much sports I was missing out on. And there's a lot of poker I like to watch. And, well, I got Poker Go, and that had that. But it's just so much more convenient to have it in one place. Oh, we got to do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
All right, once a week I like to do an a UFO slash aliens type of thing. I'm into that sort of thing. I really want to hook up with a hot alien chick at some point. But, you know, I don't really believe they exist, but there's a lot of people out there who do. And so I like watching Ancient Aliens because it's entertaining. Ancient astronaut theorists suggest that, you know, I like this stuff. Well, apparently an expert alien hunter. Now, I don't know how you get to be that. I've officially become an ancient astronaut theorist because I say I am.
No one's going to fact check you.
Well, all these guys that claim to be this, it's not like some guy is supposed to be editor of Legendary Times magazine. It doesn't exist. There's no such thing. I looked it up online and tried to find it. And then there was a thing where you could sign up for it, but only if you were a member of the Ancient Aliens something. And then that doesn't exist. So that guy gets to be, you know, he gets to be an ancient astronaut theorist. So guess what? I read a lot about it. I theorize a lot about it. I'm ancient. I think I can be an ancient astronaut theorist. In fact, I am officially one as of today, 5:52 p.m.
I think you've got a PhD in it, too.
I do.
Dr. Fred.
Well, professor.
Nobody's going to fact check me if we're just going to make stuff up like Twitter.
Dr. Fred Fowler.
Yeah. Well,
Dwight Schrute made up a position, assistant to the regional manager. You can make up a position.
Interesting. Well, this expert alien hunter claims to have discovered a fleet of alien vessels underwater off the coast of Greece. They are believed to have either been coming from or returning to an off-sited alien base near the Greek municipality of Nea Michianoma. Never heard of it. But it says UFO and alien expert Scott Waring explained the unusual phenomenon on his website. He shows a picture of what looks like a disc underwater, which, again, probably just a reef.
No, but it's a UFO, Fred.
But it's circular, so therefore must be what? UFO. So he says there's a fleet of UFOs off the coast of Greece when you look using Google Earth map. The smallest one is 80 meters across, and the largest one is about 200 meters, according to Google Ruler. So to be an alien expert, all you need, Google Earth map and Google Ruler. The smallest one has a hump at its center, which makes me think this looks like a classic disc.
Seems right to me.
Yeah. And of course, then he writes, I've heard that an alien base was not that far away from Greece. It's 5 kilometers before the Rocca Pia Italian castle. They call themselves the W-56. Okay, first you heard there's a base. Now you found out that they call themselves the W-56. There are many different alien species living there, and they have contacted humans on many occasions. For instance, the Friendship case spawned over 3 decades of meetings with aliens. The base is huge, and they said it extends far out under the ocean. These UFOs look like they belong to the W-56.
Of course.
All right, you know I love this stuff, right? This is completely nuts. It's just like the guy who saw a base on the meteor. So
I can't wait till we actually find out there is alien life out there and not one of their ships are round.
Didn't the U.S. government admit that there were UFOs not too long ago, and it was in the midst of this pandemic and like nobody really cared because everything was happening in the world?
Well, they've admitted to sightings of things they couldn't identify. It doesn't mean aliens. And like the Navy has a bunch of stuff where it could very easily be Russian or Chinese ships or things like that, the airships that they're testing. The U.S. has a bunch of things that they're testing that nobody knows about. Of course, ancient astronaut theorists suggest it could be aliens. Space Coast says W-56 is a lame-ass name for aliens. No kidding. Space Ghosts would be a great name for aliens.
That's a great name.
Yeah. So,
what do you think aliens look like, Fred? You're the expert. You're the doctor.
Well, I kind of would... There's what I hope, and then there's what they probably look like. Which they probably look like... Did you ever see Paul, the movie Paul?
No, I haven't seen it.
Very funny alien movie. Seth Rogen is the voice of Paul. Have you seen that, Aaron?
I think I saw half of it.
God, I don't know what to do with
Aaron. Can't finish anything. He starts Mad Men. He stops after a couple episodes. He sees Paul. He stops after halfway through the movie.
Well, if you get a chance, it's very funny. It also has callbacks to like every alien movie ever. And Paul is this little alien dude who kind of E.T. is based on, and it's just very funny. It's a really good Seth Rogen role. It's got two British guys in it, and it's a funny movie.
Love a good British guy.
What's his name? Simon Pegg is one of them, who I think is hilarious. Although I watched a movie. This is one of those things where you start liking an actor, and then they do something totally out of character, like Adam Sandler. Eric Sandler still got a career. Adam Sandler ruined his career with Spanglish.
What do
right?
you mean? Adam Sandler should have got an Oscar nomination for Uncut Gems.
Oh, don't tell me you like that movie.
He was snuck. I liked the movie till the ending. I thought it was a good movie until I didn't like the ending.
Well, that is one of the most polarizing movies around. You either loved it or you hated it.
I did not like the ending, but I enjoyed the movie.
That's another one. I could have guessed he would have liked that movie. That's a New York thing. You are a cliche.
What, why is that a New York thing? Because the movie happens to take place in New York. It's a movie about sports gambling.
Yeah, and you like movies from you like New York things.
I like all Adam of
those,
Sandler,
but that's the thing. All of those guys that all those things we're talking about, those are things that New York guys like. Doesn't mean it's exclusive to New York, but in general, yeah, New Yorkers love that.
Well,
stuff.
Adam Sandler, that movie Uncut Gems, I believe, is now on Netflix, so everyone's watching that movie now.
Well.
Someone wrote in the on the Twitch chat, halfway through Uncut Gems, but it's terrible so far. So, a win for Fred there.
At 208 says, Paul is hilarious. Guys who did Shaun of the Dead. But I was talking about Simon Pegg, and he was in some movie, some Netflix movie I hadn't heard of. So, I put it on and watch it, and he plays the bad guy in it. And I hated it. It's like, no, Simon Pegg's supposed to be this little innocent, goofy English guy that you love. And yeah, he played the dad in The Boys, right?
Yeah,
he played. Oh, yeah, okay. And I mean, he's just he did that movie about the marathon, that Run Fat Boy Run, which was really funny. And I just like him as an actor, and so I watched this movie, and the movie was okay, but he was a bad guy, and I'm like, oh my god,
he's trying not to be typecasted, trying to vary it up.
Well, I get it. Don't do that. that's what ruined Adam Sandler was he did Spanglish. And he's done nothing since then that's worth a damn.
Besides Uncut Gems.
Sorry. You know what he is? He's like the basketball player who's... Like, if you were to try to get Paul Pierce to come
he's
back
Vince
now...
He's Vince Carter sticking around on all these
no,
teams.
No, he's not even that. Because Vince Carter could still play. It's like trying to bring back Paul Pierce now because... Man, Paul Pierce was so great in his day.
It's Jordan on the Wizards.
Yeah, well, it's
Jordan averaged 20 a game on the Wizards at age 40. I thought that was pretty
good. Adam Sandler still makes a lot of money doing the movies. They're just not good.
I agree with you. His recent movies have been terrible. The Netflix movies, they've been bad. But Uncut Gems, I thought he finally got out of this slump, and it wasn't garbage. I guess I'm wrong. You guys hate it.
Yeah, I would say, yeah, I just thought it was bad. But that's me. Hockley Dan says, deep down, Fred wants that hot alien chick for his fourth wife. Hey, Here's the big thing to this. Yes, absolutely. Like, I would love for them to look like Gamora from Guardians.
Okay.
I'd be down with that. And maybe, just maybe a hot alien chick would not, maybe in their culture, I'd be a handsome. I can hold on to that, right? It's like, yeah, I get in this culture, I'm a hideous beast.
You're a beautiful man.
No, I'm not. I'm not. And I know that. But in their culture, man, I could be George Clooney. I could be Ryan Reynolds. I could be Ryan Gosling in the alien culture.
You're the Ryan Gosling of the alien culture.
That's what I'm holding my hat on. All right, quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.